ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davin. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Okay, if you would please take your Bible this morning, we're going to go over to the book of Psalms. And we're in Psalm 4. And as you're turning there, I just give you a little background on this psalm itself, because this is one of those psalms that is quoted in the New Testament, but it's quoted in a little interesting connective that maybe will be helpful for us even today, because what David is dealing with as he goes into this psalm is he's dealing with a difficulty that is beyond his measure and yet not. I've titled the message this morning, The Secret of the Lord, and it was beyond his measure until it wasn't. You see, what had happened was, in David's life, he had had a lot of hits after he messed up with Bathsheba and Uriah, and he was trying to get his legs back up under him, and yet, he never did. Really, for the longest time, I could say, he didn't get his legs under him. And what happened was is that he wouldn't want to go out to battle, he didn't want to go do anything except go to his study and write psalms, And many of them were psalms of repentance. Just, God, I'm so sorry, and I'm thanking you that you're awesome and that you forgive. But he never really trusted himself. And it was something of the Lord's work in his life that helped him to find a way to get back to what he knew. He knew God. And I don't know where you are today, but I want you to know, if you know God, you know God. And it's a neat thing, because he never forgets his children. We have abundance of scriptures that teach us that, as with the prodigal son, if you go away for a while, he'll let you go and he'll let you get messed up and he'll let you skin up your knees. But he never gives up on us. He never leaves us. No one can pluck us out of the son's hand. No one can pluck us out of the father's hand. He and the father are one, and no one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is so good to know. It is the secret of the Christian. It is the thing that helps you get up in the morning and find a song in spite of the fact that you might be dying inside. And once in a while, we find ourselves in that kind of predicament. David knew the secret of the Lord. And what had happened in the context of Psalm 4 is that he's literally been run out of town because his son Absalom has rebelled. He has staged the coup, and it was at the last minute that David got a word, you got to get out of here, and you got to get out of here quickly. Because Absalom's coming and he's got men and it's not going to be good. We don't have time to get ready, so we're just going to get you, grab what you got to go, let's go. And his men are livid. You can imagine these mighty men who are all around him. They're livid. They're literally, you know, can't believe that, first of all, Absalom would do this. Secondly, that they didn't know it. Thirdly, that their king is in jeopardy. And everybody is being tested. It is a thing that will happen in your life. Once in a while, everything's going to let go. Everything's going to be weird. Everything's going to be upside down. And you're going to have to remind yourself that if you cannot trace his hand, you can trust his heart. God's for you. If you're his child, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's a thing that's hard to remember when things are not looking real good. And so Psalm 4 is that kind of a psalm. It's dealing with that kind of a situation. And David has the secret of the Lord. The Bible actually has a passage in the Psalms, and it says that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And that's important for us to know. And we, this morning, have challenges to our faith as we go along, and they intensify sometimes. Sometimes they're harder because they've got to be. You don't go back and do the same routine at the gym and get the same result. You've got to go beyond that now. You've got to go further. You got to go deeper, and you got to reach a little further. And that's how you build muscle. That's how you build faith. You just begin to start doing what you've been taught to do. The Bible says in verse 1, to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David. And then it begins, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. The word Selah means to pause here. and think about what he just wrote. And so that's what we'll do. We're going to pause here. We're going to think about what he wrote. First of all, he gave a title to this psalm as he sent it over to the chief musician. Neginah. Most of us don't really go into that little detail stuff very often when we're reading devotionally. We just read it and, you know, we can get plenty because there's all kinds of stuff in the Bible. You can read it. You know, casually, you can read it. Devotionally, you can read it. Meditatively, you read a verse. You've got plenty to work with everywhere you turn. But when you deal with this verse and this title, it's kind of an interesting thing to ponder. The word Neginah means mocking or a taunting psalm. A mocking or a taunting psalm. And it's like, okay, you got my attention now. Why would there be a psalm that was mocking in its tone? Well, if you've ever played chess, which I don't play very often because I'm not very good at it, and it's largely because I just don't have the patience to settle down and get quiet and do this. Okay, you really got to apply yourself. And it's also partly because my sons can beat me in 2-3 moves. And I just admit, say, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. Let's go do something I know how to do. But the point is that this is a taunting psalm because David is now out in the field. He's had time to get his tent set up. He's had time to get his desk laid out by his men. He's had time to sit down with his pen, and he's had time to watch them as he's been, you know, kind of spirited away. And he's looked around. He's seen their attitudes. He's seen their spirits, and he's seen himself. And he's not really, he doesn't care at this point because he's done with him. You think about that. He's done with him. He's done with himself. He's messed up with Uriah and Bathsheba and that whole mess. He doesn't. So if it comes, it comes. And remember, perhaps when he was going out of town, Shimei came up and he started cursing David. You remember this? David was coming out. Shimei's cursing him. Oh, bloody man. Oh, bloody man. And one of his soldiers said, let me go over and lop his head off. And he said, stay your hand. If God has ordained that he curse, let him curse. Because I'm in God's hands. And God must have this ordained. In other words, he's saying, I'm okay with whatever God's giving me. I'm okay with the circumstances, whether good or ill. As Job would have said, shall we receive good from the Lord and not evil? You see, sometimes the winds have to rise, the waves have to kind of rise, and everything has to get a little bit scary before you know what you're really in for. For David, he had already passed that line a while back, and he's having a hard time really caring about himself or really, you know, trusting himself. So when this happens, he says, okay, I'm in God's hands. He's not failed me yet. Even after the whole occurrence of being confronted by Nathan and all these things, and he was told, go out, you got to come to the city because there's a man that we're going to take it. And Joab said, come out or they're going to say, I took the city. You need to be here. And so he got up and just kind of heaved himself away into the horse's saddle. And he went out, and the Bible says that God gave him a crown of gold anyway. Okay. God give you a crown of gold anyway. Has he ever done that? When you didn't deserve it, you got up and you had a good day. You got up and maybe something happened. The next thing you know, there's a little buoyancy. Next thing you know, your song's back. Beloved, I want to say to you, that's what's going to happen sometimes. You're going to have a downtime, and then there's going to be that undulation. You're going to come back up. And God is for you, and he's taking you through things. And he's never been shocked by you. He wasn't shocked by what David did. He knew when he told David, you'll never cease to have a seat, sit upon the throne. I'm going to make yours an everlasting kingdom. He knew that David would sin with Bathsheba. He knew about Uriah. Think about that. God knew. And he knows you. And so what he knows here is he knows as he sits down in that tent and he's got that pen in his hand and he's beginning to write, he knows the secret of the Lord. And he knows that he can sing in the midst of a trial. It's interesting. Job said something about this word in Job 30, verse 9. The Bible says, and this is Job's thing as he's lamenting his situation, he says, he used to be respected, but in 30, verse 9, it says, and now I am their song. It's a mocking song. Now I'm their mocking song. I'm their byword. So that's what this word means. And so when you're reading this psalm in this terrible situation, his son's rebelling, the kingdom's in jeopardy, his wives are being violated as we speak. I mean, I'm telling you guys, big deal. Absalom took him up to the top, put a tent, and he said, I'm going to break all ties with my father. You say, that's hard to talk about. Yeah, it's hard to talk about, but it's not. Because God said, I want you to know the truth. I want you to know men are sinners. I want you to know that because you are one. And because you are one, you're going to have to deal with you. And if you were going to deal with you, you're going to have to deal with you with some resources that I'm going to provide you. I'm going to provide you the resources of my word. I'm going to show you that the best of men are men at best. If you trust too much on you, you're going to get blown away. You will be devastated. David was, and he didn't have all we have, okay? He was more devastated because he had no examples of having such a relationship with the Lord and messing up. He was a man after God's own heart. And you and I understand God gave us his experience so that we can avoid it. The Bible says to the chief musician on Neginoth. That word not only means the idea of a mocking song, but it also has the inworkings of the word to play with the fingers in staccato. It's almost like a dance. It's like a march around it. It's almost like something of a staccato, plucking with the fingers. One commentator said this, focusing on that staccato touch aspect. He said this, he said, Lord, I am an instrument for thee to touch. Are you willing to be touched by the Lord? We sing it. He touched me and made me whole, right? We sing it. But are you really willing to let him touch you? He's a great physician. Sometimes he touches and it hurts because something has to be removed. The Bible says Neginoth. It says staccato. It says taunting, mocking. This commentator comes along and he says, Lord, I am an instrument for thee to touch. Let us lay ourselves open to the Spirit's touch so that we shall make melody. May we be full of faith and love, and we shall be living instruments of music in the Lord's hands. I thought that was pretty cool. So I don't do that often, reading somebody's mind. I thought, that works. God is writing literally a masterpiece with you. The Bible says we are His workmanship. Poiemen. We are His workmanship. Poem. You are His poem. You are His masterpiece. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. Did you ever read that? That's you. He wants to use you. He wants to show Christ through you and me. This is also written as to the chief musician. So he writes it and he wants this in circulation. And it says in the Septuagint that they've taken a different word for the chief musician. And I thought this was interesting because this means that this word literally should be translated, rather than chief musician here, it should be translated unto the end. Now, what is the Septuagint? Well, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And so when the Jewish people translated the Old Testament into Greek, they literally came up with this word and they pondered it all their lives. These people were always immersed in their Bibles and the Scriptures, and so they knew some things. So when they do change something a little bit, and you go back and look at their translation from Hebrew to Greek, it gives you a little bit more of the sense that they took from it when they were closer to it. Okay, so that's important. So it's not license. It's something that they all understood, and because they were so close to the issue, they could do this. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.